Well, you might remember the story of Stephen Glass more than a decade ago. He was a young reporter on the rise at the New Republic in Washington, D.C. His journalism career came to a screeching halt, however, after it was discovered that he largely fabricated more than 40 articles. We're talking about publications like the New Republic, Harper's, the Rolling Stone, and others. He made up quotes, invented sources, invented websites to back up his fake sources, phony email addresses, phony voicemails, and phone numbers. Here's Glass speaking for himself on 60 Minutes. In 2003, after the scandal broke.
I remember thinking if I just had the exact quote that I wanted to make it work, it would be perfect. And I wrote something on my computer, and then I looked at it, and I let it stand. And then it ran in the magazine, and I saw it, and I said to myself, what I said every time these stories ran, you must stop, you must stop.
Well, his journalism career over, Glass went into therapy, wrote a novel about his experiences called The Fabulist. There was a movie made about him called Shattered Glass, which many of us have seen. So Glass went on, though, to finish law school, graduating from Georgetown in Washington, D.C. Now he's a 39-year-old law clerk at a firm in Beverly Hills, California, and he's waiting for the California Supreme Court to decide whether Glass should be admitted to the California bar. So the question, should a journalist who built his reputation on lies be permitted to restart his professional life as a lawyer? In a word, should he get a do-over? Well, Joe Nocera, our friend and op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times, says yes. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Todd, but I think you framed the question wrong.
Okay, frame it.
Should any person who makes a huge mistake in his early 20s be allowed to have a normal professional life by the time he's in his late 30s?
And you say the answer is yes.
I think the answer is absolutely. We are a society that, you know, do you believe in redemption? I'm a sucker for redemption stories. I admit that. I'm happy to see that Henry Blodgett, who made such huge mistakes as a Wall Street analyst, has created a second career, ironically, as a journalist. So my basic take is, you know, not every lawyer is a sound moral character, but this guy certainly is. Having made these huge mistakes, having restarted his life, having led a pretty exemplary life in the last 14 years, the notion that he should forever be condemned to some kind of sub-status is absurd.
Joe Nocera, so many other people think that this person, that Glass is a proven liar, a fabricator. Some people might turn around and say that does not necessarily disqualify him to be a good lawyer, but I'm joking.
I didn't make that point in my column. It just felt a little too easy.
Okay, but the public embarrassment, having a hit film made about his lies, about his fabrications, his lies to himself, Stephen Glass has lived out his... Well, I don't know if it's redemption yet. He certainly lived out his penance in public. You feel like that's adequate?
Adequate to what? Adequate to what?
Right. I guess that's the question.
He didn't kill anybody. Nobody went to jail. There was no crime committed. He did a terrible, terrible thing. And, you know, all these people who think he's so terrible, they got to make a nice movie about it. And when he sends his resume out, the first person somebody thinks to themselves when they see his resume is, oh, it's that Stephen Glass.
Of course, he's not, you know, he's not applying to, you know, to manage a factory or be a bus driver. He's applying to be in a profession that requires confidentiality, trust, honesty before the court. You see where I'm going with this.
That's right. And as Susan Block, his former constitutional law professor, told me, every single person who has come in contact with Stephen Glass since that time believes he's deeply, deeply honest and deeply honorable. Okay, so the only people who are really opposed to him being a lawyer are people who can't get this event, who can't get past what he did when he was 23, 24, 25.
What kind of pushback is he getting before the California Supreme Court? What does the opposition look like?
The mere fact that it's before the California Supreme Court tells you how aggressively the Bar Association is trying to keep him from being a lawyer. He has been before, this has been going on since 2007. That's when he passed the bar. They had a full-blown trial, an administrative-type trial that lasted a month, where a judge gauged his character to be upstanding and moral. So the Bar Association lost that. They appealed it. They lost the appeal. And In California, ultimately, the state Supreme Court has the right to rule, has the ultimate right to rule on who gets to be a lawyer and who doesn't. So they have appealed this all the way to the California Supreme Court. And it probably won't get heard for another 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. This won't happen. Here's another great irony. Under the California Bar Association rules, if you don't become a lawyer within 5 years of passing the bar, you have to take it again.
You have to take it again. Well, let's.
This is already about to go up to 5 years. He asked them to waive that provision because the reason he can't get it is because he's in a fight with them, and they said no.
Sounds like they might be trying to ice him out in a way. Well, Joe Nocera, let's point out that you did call Stephen Glass before you wrote your column. He didn't call you back. I just want to point that out. What kind of lawyer do you think he becomes? I mean, he's, even though it's because of infamy, he's certainly a celebrity. He's in Beverly Hills. If he does get past the Supreme Court, does Stephen Glass become a well-known celebrity lawyer? He's already famous.
Well, Todd, Stephen Glass, the guy he works for, does a lot of personal injury work for homeless people.
Hmm.
That's his calling card. So Stephen Glass is actually, I didn't put this in the column because it felt like it was almost too much. But Stephen Glass has actually spent most of the last 4 or 5 years working for this guy, working with homeless people.
So he's not going to be going to Neverland Ranch arguing for the Michael Jackson estate or anything like that.
I think it's quite likely he will stay with this firm. I think he feels a real debt of gratitude and loyalty to Paul Zuckerman, the lawyer who hired him. And I suspect he'll continue to do the same kind of work he's been doing now.
Joe Nocera is an op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times, and a frequent guest on The Takeaway. Joe, we always love having you.
I always love being on.
Thanks for talking to us. Well, we want to know what you think about the case of Stephen Glass. Should somebody who, in his early 20s, was a celebrated or defamed chronic liar fabricator be allowed to be a lawyer in Beverly Hills in California or anyone else? Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. Of course, you can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/The Takeaway. We want to hear from you.